This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The Library of Alexandria. Amazing if we could go back 2,000 years and retrieve the documents from that library. And on today's program, we're going to talk about doing something just like that. The subject of today's program is the Vesuvius Challenge, and we're inviting back to the program Brent Seals, a professor of computer science at the University of Kentucky, to talk about some conversations we started several years ago about the Villa of the Papyri in the shadow of Mount Vesuvius in Italy. There are scrolls there. They can be read if we can crack the code, and that's what you're trying to do. What is the Vesuvius Challenge, Brent?
Well, it's good to be here, Gordon. The challenge is our challenge to the global community to help us use technology to be able to read the writing that is on the inside of these iconic scrolls. They're badly damaged, they're carbonized, so they can't really be physically opened. With a technical solution, we think we can read the writing inside.
You have a track record. This is something we talked about back about 7 or 8 years ago. You took the computer tomography scan of a carbonized scroll from a synagogue that had been excavated on the shore of the Dead Sea and found out that it was the biblical book of Leviticus.
That's right. Our first victory was the scroll from En Gedi, which was a badly carbonized scroll discovered 50 years ago at an archaeological site just outside of the little community of En Gedi. We were able to use tomography to read the first two chapters of the book of Leviticus, written in Hebrew. And that scroll turned out to be almost 1,800 years old, very close to the Dead Sea Scroll era itself, you know, the scrolls from Qumran.
The oldest copy of a biblical text outside of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's exactly right. One of the only copies ever discovered in a synagogue, because normally the Holy Ark was removed or destroyed.
You have that experience, and you developed the computer algorithm that virtually unrolled that particular scroll. I think, if I remember right, you told us that the scrolls at the Villa of the Papyri in Italy are a little bit different, and you need to use a different process.
Yeah, in fact, the Herculaneum scrolls were always an early target for our interest in solving this technical problem, and there are few things that are the ingredients. I mean, there's the concept, which we've had two decades ago, and we needed access to the material so that we could actually collect data. Of course, there's the set of tools that we've been systematically building, and those tools are algorithmic. They're computer programs that we use to take the data we've acquired and do this virtual unwrapping. So, in fact, we started with Herculaneum scrolls, and we were interrupted through a combination of things without having achieved our goal, and in between, we were able to read the scroll from En Gedi. Now we're returning to Herculaneum, and we're excited about this contest because we think it's bringing some real momentum and acceleration to something I've been thinking about for really two decades.
Is it the ink that's different that doesn't show up with the computer tomography, so you have to use a synchrotron or some other type of radiation to read that?
Well, what we've discovered is that there's a lot of variation in the materials from the ancient world, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach when you come to the material and want to use a piece of technology like X-ray or computed tomography. The magic we've been exploiting with synchrotron radiation, for example, is not so much the radiation itself, but it's the precision that that instrument gives us. We can collect samples on the inside of the scroll at a very, very, very high resolution, much smaller than the width of a strand of silk, for example. And so that means that the tiny particles of the ink that sit on the tiny fibers of the papyrus are actually visible. There is evidence of that in a scan that is of such high resolution.
You said finding the scrolls to do this, these scrolls were in a museum in France. These are the first ones you're able to look at?
Yeah, I think when we spoke last, we were talking primarily about the material I had looked at the Institut de France in Paris, where there are six scrolls from Herculaneum, two that are still intact and four that have been opened and are now fragmentary. since then, we've worked in partnership with the National Library in Naples, which holds the rest of the collection, almost the entire collection of more than 1,800 scrolls in various states of unwrapped or wrapped up condition. That has given us the access to a tremendous amount of information around what this material looks like, what its chemistry is, and ultimately, we hope, what the secret sauce will be to read as many of those words as we can.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with Brent Seals about the Vesuvius Challenge, a possibility of reading 2,000-year-old scrolls found at Herculaneum after the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. That's what carbonized the scrolls. They were discovered just a few hundred years ago when excavations began in that area. Tell us about the Vesuvius Challenge in particular. What has to happen for someone to win this challenge?
What we've done is we've taken our progress and we've codified that with tutorials and tools so that challengers can come and replicate our work using the tutorial and understand what we've done, and then find ways to innovate and improve that. And the challenge is for them, first of all, to detect ink that we can verify using any method that they can find in this very sensitive and very difficult data set. That competition has a value of $100,000, and we're looking at a couple more months before we close. Right now, we have over 600 competitors, and they're working on a platform called Kaggle. So that's Kaggle.com. You can go there, and you can see the competition listed, and you can participate if you'd like. Now, the grand challenge is $700,000 prize, and it's a little bit open-ended because what we've done is we've challenged the community to help us read an actual passage of text from the interior of a scroll. So in fact, we don't have the answer for that result. We have a recipe for how we think that can be done, and we've challenged the community to work on that and to present to us the unwrapped passage of text that we can verify is true. And the team that can do that will win $700,000.
So are they looking at just one scroll, or are you giving them an option of several scrolls? How many scrolls are a part of the challenge?
We worked really hard over the past few years to collect very careful, rigorous data on two complete scrolls. And so we've released portions of both of those scrolls for the competition. And we've also released portions of fragments that we've scanned where we have the visible layer. And so therefore we can confirm the accuracy of the method because we can tell from the tomography and from the photography what the ink actually looks like on those fragments that are open.
With those fragments, do you have any idea what the scroll contents might be or who wrote it or what it was?
Yeah, so for the open fragments, those are part of a larger piece of writing. Most of the known writing from Herculaneum is Philodemus or Epicurus related philosophy, and it's usually written in Greek. So it's Epicurean. Of course, scholars around the ancient world are interested in that subject and all of the different philosophies that were in play and the interplay between those philosophies. Clearly, what we would like to be able to discover in the closed scrolls, what is represented in that collection that we don't know about yet. So the things that are already open that we know about and the various writings of Philodemus on love and on rhetoric and so forth, we have some evidence of that. We're looking for these unwrapped scrolls that are going to give us new information.
So was this a technological barrier that you ran up against that you needed help on, or did you just run out of time? You just needed more eyes and more computers to look at it?
It's actually neither of those. I just got tired of the pace of the progress I could make as a single investigator, because I realize I'm looking at a world where, and you've probably realized this too, as you look at the pace of, for example, ChatGPT and DALL-E 2 and the generation of images from AI bots and so forth. The pace can only improve if you scale up the effort. And we saw a way that we could do that by using this contest as a method. There's a huge experimental landscape to try every one of the knobs that will help us optimize the technique. It becomes really hard for a small research team on a small budget. So what we're trying to do is accelerate our work based on what we know is going to happen and to do it more quickly. I've also been a proponent, Gordon, from the beginning of open scholarship, because I think that collaborating and inviting the community to participate is always a more compelling position to be in than absconding and, you know, working in private until a big result can be announced. So we really wanted to, you know, deliver the technical progress we'd made and then see if we could accelerate.
So you're hoping that somebody finds the right knob or the key that will start the engine of more progress in investigating carbonized scrolls.
Well, I think there are two things that are going to happen. We're going to explore this experimental landscape much more quickly because people are going to try things. And in doing so, we're going to be able to look at that and say, okay, that worked, that didn't work. That's a huge just experimental effort that the contest will provide. But the second thing is that when we make progress, it's going to capture the attention of a much wider audience who will be interested in continuing the acceleration, continuing the work through funding and through access and through tools that we can then generate as a community to just get there more quickly.
When this happens, then these 1,800 scrolls that are in Naples will all be open for investigation, and you can go to work on more than one at a time.
Well, we actually don't know what's going to happen. That's an important part of being a Christian, is that the world is unpredictable, and we have some comfort in our faith, because otherwise we don't know from minute to minute what's actually going to happen. What I would love to happen is for this contest to spur exactly that, a capture of all of the Herculaneum material, everything that could then be given to the community to use these tools to extract whatever information we can get. My hope is that our technical approach will be improved so that we can demonstrate that we can read most of what's there. If that actually happens, I think that we can make a good argument for possible future investigation. Most people believe that there is more written material at the library site than what was excavated in the early days. Most of the scrolls that were found completely by accident, and they were in a staging area. They were not actually in the library area. So it's an open question as to whether, if excavations resumed, we might find even more written material that has more value.
Brent Seals, professor of computer science at the University of Kentucky, explaining the Vesuvius Challenge, which, if successful, could open up a library of ancient scrolls carbonized by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. It's a bold idea. We will continue this conversation in our next program. To stay up to date on the latest developments and discoveries in archaeology that impacts the biblical world, we invite you to subscribe to our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts. Information on Artifacts is at our website at radioscribe.com. That's radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.